It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Tammy Bruce. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, November 14th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. As President Biden meets with China's Xi Jinping, the Asian power continues to defy U.S. demands it stay out of Russia's war with Ukraine, as it makes no overtures to keep away from Taiwan.
Biden has been warning China about supplying assistance to the Russian war effort in Ukraine. China continues to do that. Biden fails to impose costs on China for openly violating these sanctions.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
It is not often the U.S. president meets directly with the president of the People's Republic of China, though high-level conversations regularly take place. But at this week's meeting of the G20 in Bali, both Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping took some time to speak one-on-one. Those watching the event were hoping to see an American foot be put down with regard to China's meddling in Taiwan, its support of Russia, and other nefarious things.
I don't think anything will come of this summit between President Biden and Xi Jinping.
Gordon Chang is a longtime policy analyst on U.S. and China relations. He writes often and appears often on TV, offering his read on what China and what its president are thinking, doing, or planning. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. He says that while Ukraine and Taiwan are policy issues the U.S. is not properly tending to, more important are China's economic actions towards the U.S., which he says are intentionally hostile.
Biden, in his post-summit comments, said that the United States and China were going to establish working groups to discuss issues. And, you know, that sounds good to the ear. But the real problem here is that while we talk, China continues unacceptable conduct, and we do not impose costs. We've seen this before. Working groups don't solve anything. And I think we're going to basically have the same result now, especially because the disagreements between China and the United States are fundamental. What Biden needs to do is recognize and publicly state how fundamental these disagreements are so that America can start defending itself. We're the far stronger country, but China can actually prevail because they're attacking us and we're not protecting our republic.
Let's talk about this attack, because it's a controversial assessment, if you will. There haven't been missiles flown at us. There haven't been terrorist attacks, but yet we are in other ways under attack. And it's a very slow and long game that I believe the Chinese Communist Party is playing.
China has this doctrine of unrestricted warfare. That's the title of the 1999 book by then two Chinese Air Force colonels. And the thesis of the book is that China can do anything. It's within the bounds of no bounds to undermine and destroy the United States. So, for instance, we've seen fentanyl. Now, last year, somewhere between 77,000 to 78,000 Americans were killed with illegal fentanyl doses. In the Communist Party's total surveillance state, the party is fully backing these large, well-organized international fentanyl gangs. And these gangs actually launder their proceeds through the Chinese state banking system. So that's an attack. COVID-19. I mean, we don't know where COVID-19 came from 100%. I think it was engineered, but we don't know that 100%. But we know something 100%. And that is that China deliberately spread this disease beyond its borders. Chinese leaders at critical moments lied about contagiousness. They knew this was highly transmissible, but they told the world it was not. And while they were locking down their own country, they were pressuring others to accept arrivals from China without travel restrictions or quarantines. And that's how a disease that should have been confined to the central part of China became a global pandemic. That's 1,074,000 Americans as of today that have been killed by disease that should have never left China. You can go down the list about things that China is doing, like fomenting violence on American streets, stealing U.S. intellectual property. The list is almost endless. And we have to recognize the nature of this. It's an attack. It's a warfare by a different name. And we've got to respond.
These types of attacks, they may, and they often do, I think, fly under the radar for most people because, again, they're not viewed or people are not maybe cognizant of them as opposed to traditional attacks. But China is not necessarily beyond that either. They have made a number of threatening overtures towards American interests in Taiwan. And that is something that President Biden did mention today in his comments to reporters, saying that the United States would somehow defend Taiwan and the United States wants some kind of peaceful resolution. China, on the other hand, has basically said, no, Taiwan is really ours, meaning theirs. So this seems like an impasse. Is it in fact an impasse? Because previous impasses such as these between world powers usually don't end well.
Yeah, this is a zero-sum game. China demands that it annex Taiwan. And our position, our one China policy, is that the status of Taiwan is unresolved and that it can only be resolved with the consent of people on both sides of the Taiwan Strait. In other words, peacefully. So there's no compromise here. And the United States needs to recognize that. I believe that what Biden said today about Taiwan was pretty good. Wasn't as good as it should have been, but it's pretty good and certainly sufficient. The problem, though, is Biden has been warning China about supplying assistance to the Russian war effort in Ukraine. China continues to do that. Biden fails to impose costs on China for openly violating these sanctions. And I worry that Xi Jinping thinks, well, we've heard Biden on Ukraine. He's been totally feeble. I hear Biden on Taiwan. I think he's feeble there, too. And that could very well lead to miscalculations on the part of China. And that's how we could have a war over Taiwan.
We're speaking with Gordon Chang, author and expert on U.S.-China policy, here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition. We'll have more with Gordon Chang straight ahead. A lot of people also may not realize that China has been supplying Russia in their war against Ukraine. But they also have to wonder if Russia is not as powerful of an ally that perhaps they might have thought they were, because they're seeing Russia having such difficulty in the Ukraine. Are they? I mean, I don't know. You would know. Are they reevaluating their strategic relationship with Russia?
I think that the Chinese, like Americans, like everybody else in the world, were taken by surprise by Russia's inability to absorb Ukraine quickly. But I don't think that Xi Jinping is basically changing his calculus on his support for Russia. Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping see the world in the same terms. They view their interests that are alike. They identify the same enemy, which is us. And so despite Russia's failures in Ukraine, China's continued to support him. We saw this in September when China's third-ranked leader went to Moscow, spoke before the State Duma, and expressed in clear and unequivocal terms China's support for Russia. And then a few weeks later, Xi Jinping himself, in his first foreign trip after the pandemic, was in Uzbekistan for the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, and reconfirmed China's support for Russia. So, yes, the Chinese are dismayed that their friend, partner, ally, whatever term you want, has been failing in Ukraine. But no, that hasn't led to a reassessment of their position.
Most recently, we have seen
perhaps what might be an even more consolidation of power by Xi Jinping. There's the video that has made the rounds, probably to their consternation, of the former Chinese president being essentially whisked out off the floor of the Congress. How powerful is he within China's borders? He is certainly emerging as a new kind of dictator.
That's a great question. I think within the Communist Party itself, Xi Jinping is essentially unchallenged, and he's never been stronger. And one could say that his power over the Communist Party is unprecedented. Rivals, for instance, the power of Mao Zedong, and in some ways actually exceeds Mao's power. But when you talk about Xi Jinping's power within the boundaries of China, it's not just his hold over the party. It's the party's hold over society, which is starting to look increasingly fragile. And that's because of a number of reasons. The economic downturn, plunge in property prices, the extreme discontent and now defiance of the zero COVID rules. So I think Xi Jinping is looking at China and is not only dismayed, I think he's actually quite insecure. And that means that his hold over the military is, which is a party military, it's not a state military, his hold over the military and his aggressive foreign designs combined with a need to distract the Chinese people from failure at home, that is a very, very dangerous combination.
Dangerous how? Dangerous in that he might become more egregious, or that someone even worse could take advantage of the situation, oust him from power?
That's always a possibility. The first instance, though, is that Xi is known to be the author of domestic policies, which are failing. He obviously doesn't have answers to them. We learned that in his October 16th work report to the Communist Party's 20th National Congress, where he just skipped over a lot of matters of great concern to the Chinese people. So my concern is that Xi believes that he should start a war or some military misadventure abroad in order to distract the Chinese people from failures at home. Now, Xi has great power, as we just talked about, which means he's got great accountability to leaders in the party. When Xi Jinping became China's ruler in 2012, no Chinese leader got too much credit or too much blame, because every decision was shared across the top of the Chinese political system. But by grabbing power from everybody else, Xi Jinping grabbed accountability. He's got fewer and fewer people to blame, which means that his threshold of risk is lower, because he realizes that he could lose everything. And remember, when he took over in 2012, the cost of losing a political struggle in China was fairly low. You got a nice house in Beijing. Now, Xi Jinping has raised the cost of losing a political struggle by jailing opponents, stripping them of their assets, going after their families, which means that Xi Jinping right now realizes that he can lose everything. And that means that he is a risk taker. So his calculus for risk is, I think, a lot different than what American policymakers think, which makes basically his ability to take us by surprise. Because I think that he believes that he has an imperative to do things that we think he wouldn't do.
Gordon Chang, author and expert on U.S.-China policy, thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it on such a consequential day.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.